Blog Talk Radio.
It's just like music. Ooh, music
like
is the soul of the man.
Jam unto the music, baby.
Music
like
makes a
jam,
happy day.
Jam, get funky, funky, funky.
And music makes
say
the
what?
Clouds
say
roll
what?
By, baby.
Say what?
Your
say
music
what?
Kiss my
say
tears
what?
And dried my eyes.
Doobie,
your music doobie, makes me want to sing.
Doobie,
music is a joy to bring.
Hey.
Music is my heart and soul.
More
precious than gold.
Y'all ready for what time it is? Good afternoon to the West Coast. Good afternoon to the East Coast. And good morning all over the country. Girl, Ebony B. You now tune in live to the next game of Saturdays, where we showcase, interview, and promote nothing but the hottest business owners. And we also help the community adjust their game up as well. Today, we're going to have our special guest co-host in the building, Ali Sosa. Definitely make sure y'all check her out on Twitter, on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Ali Sosa. She's definitely doing big things. It's an honor to have her on the show today, because she might help y'all step y'all's business game up. And a lot of us really need to talk about stepping our business game up. I mean, it's a daily process of stepping your business game up, but there's a couple of things that we need to talk about, like contracts and agreements. I know some people get kind of, you know, skeptical about contracts and agreement, and it can be a real sticky situation. But Ali is coming live in the building to break it down and help you guys step your game up. She is the CEO and founder of Phase Event and Promotion. And she's a business partner with Gator Comedy Club Radio as well. So y'all make sure y'all hit her up on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Ali Sosa. And she's a beautiful queen as well. Without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring my special co-host live in the building with me, ladies and gentlemen, Ali Sosa. Hey, queen.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Miss Ebony B.
How are you today?
I am wonderful. It is Saturday. I'm getting a chance to actually sit down for a second. So it's a good Saturday. It's a good Saturday. I'm glad to be here. It's an honor, definitely a privilege to be able to co-host with you today. So I'm definitely excited.
Well, we're about to turn up. For those who don't know exactly what you do and how big and the big movements that your company is making, let them know about you and where to get more information about you, and also, you know, hiring you as well for their event.
Yes. So I am the owner of Phase Events and Promotions. I do event planning and social media management, as well as, of course, corporate events, birthday parties, different comedy shows, which is big here in Chicago. If you, of course, need to have event planning services done, you can contact me through Facebook, of course, under Ali Joseph, or you can contact me as well on Twitter, actually. You can go either on Soul Queen Ali or at What's Your Phase, and that's spelled P-H-A-V-E. You can also check out my website, and that's www.phaseeventsandpromotions.net. Or you can definitely give me a call as well. Our business line is 872-216-6172. So you can definitely contact us for all your event planning needs. When I'm, of course, not doing all these entertainment planning, I'm also a manager as well as a business partner with Gator Comedy Club. Been working with Gator on and off since 2009. Shout out to Sam. So we basically run different shows, comedy shows monthly in Chicago, in the Chicago South Suburb area, and as well as in Indiana. We've got a few things coming up so far. I'll definitely be letting you guys know that in detail. But, yes, that's basically, as well, if you want to check out as well our comics, shout out to Miss D Chaffee, 38D, and Lisa Larrett. You can definitely visit the Facebook page. Yep, 38D just was on here interviewing this earlier this week. You can check them out on our Facebook page, Gator Comedy Club Chicago, or you can check out Gator Radio Facebook page. That'll be the new radio show that's coming out this spring with them as your host. So definitely check that out as well.
That's definitely what's up. Let's bust this thing wide open. Let's talk about business etiquette. You know, that's something that we all need to really talk about and take advantage of, especially when you're dealing with potential clients or customers. You know, let's go ahead and touch on that, Alan.
Okay, so business etiquette. This is very, very important, considering that, unfortunately, there's a lot of us that seem to not understand business etiquette. I run with people and go to meetings with clients all the time, and the one thing I tend to find out or I get responses about from clients and from people that I'm working with is, well, why isn't your client doing this, or why is this not stated in this contract, or why is this not put down in writing? Unfortunately, these are things that we have to really talk about, and we need to get together, you know, as a community, but in general in business. So one thing I definitely want to say, I would just say my top three. So let's talk about dress. And this is something that, while a lot of people may not find important, it's actually very important. Make sure that you're appropriately dressed for your meeting. Just because you may have a fabulous product, just because your product may be the next best thing, it does not mean that you're going to get those endorsements and contracts if you don't have the appropriate presentation. Make sure that you have on a nice suit. Now, if you're not really, you know, if it's not something that's super professional, I always wear a suit when I'm at a serious business meeting. That's just me. If you're not into that, have on some appropriate dress. Look like that you're serious about your brand. If you're not serious about your brand, please do not expect these corporations or these different sponsors to take your brand seriously. You won't get it, and then you're going to still be continuing to struggle. It's so important that you come in with the proper dress. Number two, presentation. Make sure that your presentations are correct. If you have visuals, make sure the pictures are appropriate. Let's talk about as well as spelling and grammatical errors. That's the problem. I've seen plenty of clients who will come in with so many mistakes with their business presentation, it turns them off. They're not interested after a while. So let's make sure that our presentation is correct. And number three, I definitely have to say my top communication is how you're speaking. If you're coming in speaking in a way that they cannot understand, if you're not giving appropriate numbers, if you're not showing your 3 to 5 year plan to these sponsors and these corporations, you're not going to get anything out of it. Make sure that you are effectively able to communicate with your audience and effectively communicate to the people that you want to invest in your brand. It's all about making sure that your brand, that you're taking your brand seriously. This is very important, especially with the amount of people that are now becoming entrepreneurs. It's not something that myself nor Ebony B or any other entrepreneurs do for fun. This is what we do for business. So when we have those little bad apples in the core who just think that they can run around and grab and just say anything they want, it's a representation. So we need to get it together when it comes to effectively communicating what we want, when it comes to those contracts, when it comes to talking about these negotiations. We need to effectively communicate that and understand and be aware of what's going to happen if these things don't happen.
Now, you dropped a lot of jewels on you guys right there. We're going to go to the step lines in a minute. You guys want to step your game up. If you want to speak to us live, call us up at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. And press the 1 button to get into the queue. Now, as far as just to piggyback on this dress part, to look the part, you can't go wrong with black flags and a white shirt. Can't go wrong with a black skirt, knee level, a little bit under your knee. Let's just put it past the knee, especially if you're a thick sister like myself, you know, in a white shirt.
Okay,
you can't go wrong, because sometimes, you know, we want to wear the pencil skirt, you know, but we need to realize when you think and you get a pencil skirt, it will start to hike up. So you want to, you know, make sure it's past your knee. Please try your clothes on in the store. Because I've seen people who have come to the kitchen, people pictures, and it was a really nice outfit, but you can tell that they did try it on while they were in the store. So, you know, you definitely want to come. You can't go wrong with a white shirt and black slacks or black pants. You never go wrong. It's a really good shoes. You don't need a lot of loud colors.
You know,
let's keep it neutral. You know, and also, let's talk about smell. You know, I know you like your Beyonce. I know you like your Polo, but you want to keep it. You don't want to come in with an overbearing smell. You know, perfume or a cologne may smell good to you, but someone may, the person that you may be meeting with, the investor, you know, they may be allergic to that smell or can't take a lot of smell. So you want to keep it as plain as possible. You want to direct the attention towards your presentation and your product and not yourself. That's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. You want to keep it plain. You don't really need a lot of loud hair colors or none of this. Just keep it simple. And you want to direct this to your product and not yourself. Let's go to the step on to get you love, and then we'll jump right back into this topic. Let's go to 972-824. You're now live on 7 p.m. on Saturdays with Diva Evans and special co-host Ali Joseph. What is your name and where you calling from?
Hello, it is I, just Dope Ass Music, in the building, on Step Your Game Up Saturday. What it do, Diva Ebony B? What it do, Ali?
Hey,
Dope,
how's it going?
I, you know, I'm putting on my professional voice and tone, so that way I can represent us correctly, representing for the Bay Area.
I love it.
Hey, no doubt.
Touch on that for us, though. Touch on that, your professional voice. Yeah, go ahead and touch on your professional voice. How important it is, you know, to be able to be professional and speak professional when you're meeting with other professional companies and also outsource your brand.
Well, you know, if you're wanting investors, you got to dress and address your investors as an equal. So that means you have to speak to them in the same tone and manner that they speak with you, as well as you have to look like, well, even if you might not be on their level, you have to at least show that initiative that you're trying to be on that level. You're always trying to get to the next step. So if you show that initiative in your dress, and also if you show that in your speech, they're more likely to invest in you than if you come in there. Unless you are just that much of a product. You're that much of a product. You come through there, you can be sagging, do whatever you want to do, talk however you want, but you're a novelty. And what that means is they're going to invest in you and use you for as long as they need to, and then they're going to drop you, and they're going to use you accordingly. But if you go in there like you know what you're talking about, they can't use you, and they're going to pay you what you're due. You know, as far as branding, you know, everybody, you know, wants to be branded, but they don't understand that your perception visually, especially on social media, is very important. People, they're going to Google you. They're going to, you know, they're going to Bing you. They're going to do whatever. They're going to LinkedIn you. And if they see you on Instagram with weed and guns and money, there's a good chance you're not going to get that investment. Yeah, we know that, you know, music is art, but they're not going to want to invest in that. You know, so make sure that, you know, if I keep my personal business separate from my business. Dope Ass Music, yes, I'm an artist, but I'm also a radio personality. I'm also a producer. And it's a whole encompassing. Whatever you do, don't pigeonhole yourself into one particular thing. You know, make sure that you keep branching out. That way, when you come to them, they're not looking at you as just a person. You're already established product that just needs marketing and distribution and funding. Not they got to create you and then on top of that give you money for this. That's why it's very important to have your 3 to 5 year plan. And I didn't realize this until I actually got to this point. And I salute you, Diva, and Ali for having this topic. I'm going to say real quickly, and then I'm going to go ahead and let you get that show back to y'all. When I first started, I wanted to rap. That's the whole point of the reason why I'm Dope Ass Music. I wanted to rap. So I was like, okay, in 5 years, I want to be established to the point where I can start selling music. So that's why I went in the first 5 years. So my first year, I was just getting myself out there. I was just getting my name. So I got on every possible website, everything you could possibly think of, so that way when you Google me, my name would show up. Second thing was establishing my brand. So the second year, I'm establishing my brand. That's what I was doing. So now I am officially a brand. My third year to my fifth year is building up my net worth and my network. So now it doesn't help you to be a wonderful rapper if you can't sell any tickets. It doesn't make you be a wonderful rapper if you can't have nobody buy your music. You're just a great online rapper. So you have to have a plan. So my 5 years album will be dropping this year, and then from there, my next 5 years, I'm gonna take over Blog Talk. You know, that's my next step. I'm gonna retire from rapping, and I'm gonna take over Blog
Talk. I can't do both, Queen.
Can't do both. I'm gonna retire. I'm gonna let these youngsters have the rap game. I'm just gonna do my Russell Simmons, and I'll just go ahead and I'll just, you know, take over the Blog Talk. Let's take over Blog Talk.
We appreciate your comments and, you know, the jewel that you dropped as well. And I wanted to just add before we take a quick music break about, you know, your business etiquette as far as online. And it is for people, and that's why I say people have two different sides. It's all right to have a business, a professional side and a personal side. But here's the thing. When you're posting on Facebook or if you're posting on Twitter, and we know that a lot of celebrities and a lot of companies, you know, people are watching to see what you're saying. They're looking to see if you're going to change. And if you do something out of character of how you presented yourself, then, of course, it's going to shift. It's going to change. There have been so many athletes, so many artists, so many business owners get dropped from their sponsorships because of the things that they are putting out there in the public. It's so very important. So for you to stay consistent. Yes, we are humans, and sometimes we need to vent and blast, but I really wouldn't advise you to vent and blast on a public social network. Please don't, because somebody already screenshotted. Like, oh, look at Diva Ebony B. You know, she claimed to be a queen, and Diva looks acting all rapid. You know what I'm saying?
They are waiting.
So you want to have, that's why it's so important to have a team, somebody who really cares about you and your business, because you can turn around and say that to them. You may want to keep, you should keep your personal Vinny to your team or to one individual person. Don't put it online. It's one thing to express your opinion, but Vinny is a whole different situation. Big shout out to Phyllis Wong that's checked in live right here on Diva Star Radio on Step Your Game on Saturdays. Phyllis, we see you, baby. We appreciate you listening. She's also doing big things. Phyllis, if you want to give some comment or if you want to drop a couple of jewels on them about Step Your Game of Project Business, press the one button to be heard. But Elder Barnes Jr. is definitely doing his thing. He got this song called Shorty, Are You Okay? I actually got it last year, but I still love the song. He's still turning up. Let's go ahead and take a music break with Elder Barnes Jr. with his hot track, Shorty, Are You Okay? And when we come back, we're going to bust the thing wide open one more time.
Hey, baby girl, what's up? What you need? Come on, man. You already know I got you. You ain't got to be my girl. I'm tripped.
Shorty, are you okay? Are you okay? Shorty, are you okay? Shorty, are you okay? Shorty, are you okay? Are you okay? Shorty, are you okay?
No, you're not my lady, but I still hold you down. Always been my baby, though I ain't always round. You girls be acting shady, but when I need to take a break, settle down, let it all hang out. It's you. When I was broke, you paid me, even though I worked your nerves. This pain and street that made me, but you still know my worth. Ain't nothing better than a girl who's a friend. A couple benefits, we reminisce and do it all again. And you know I like that,
ooh,
you know I got that. But when you need us, just get at me. If you need love in the middle of the night, if you need a couple steps, I want you down, girl. Just wanna know that you're okay.
Shorty, are you okay? Are you okay? Shorty, are you okay? Are you okay? Shorty, are you okay?
city to city, so many different ladies, and they all wanna get with me, cause how this music pays me. I guess they figure with my name, they get fame, and a baby, it'll all be cool, that's why your love's amazing. Ain't even gotta be mine, but still got me behaving. I must be out of my mind, I'm making you my lady. But I'm a player type of fella, on a real life, and you know love, I can't play you. You know I like that, ooh, you know I got that, so when you need the, ooh, just get at me, whatever you need. Shorty, you know I'll be right there for you. If you need love in the middle of the night, if you need a couple steps to hold you down, girl, let's hold on. Just wanna know that you're okay. I know men taxing your life, cause they just write you off. But they don't know you like I know you, baby, not at all. They see your inner thigh, but not your third eye, and not your inner beauty, don't make them worth your cry. Just do your Mary J. Blige, and if you need a thing, I'd be glad to oblige, just call the Lion King. Go buy a couple bags, a pair of shoes to match, a calling card for them. You don't know how to act, cause you know I ain't trippin'. If you need a loan, I help you out so he can pay attention. Cause I ain't always there, but I'ma always care. Get what you can, cause ain't nobody say that life was fair. And when I get back into town, off the road, and show these fools up to who I must expose all my flows to. You know you got it, time, money, grind, whatever, you know I got it, yeah. And I just wanna know, shorty, are you okay? Are you okay, shorty, are you okay? Are you okay, shorty? Are you okay? Are you okay, shorty? Are you okay? Are you okay?
Elder Barnes Jr. there with his hot track, Shorty, Are You Okay? Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Elder Barnes Jr. Again, that's at Elder Barnes Jr. It's your girl, Diva Ebony D, and now tuned in live to the Steffi Game of Saturday. Each and every Saturday, 1 p.m. on the West, 3 p.m. on the East, where we showcase, interview, and promote nothing but the hottest and business owners. And we also talk about stepping our games up as far as our community and things that can help yourself. We got special co-host live in the building, Ali Joseph. And we're talking about these contracts here, or I guess I would say showcasing your business or doing business with others. I'm going to bring Denaya in a few, but I wanted to talk about contracts as far as, like, an agreement. This is one of the contracts that I think is very important when you are either doing business with somebody or bringing somebody in on your team. And this contract, it's very important. It's very useful for people who are bringing people on your team, because I see a lot of people linking up, but they're not doing a non-disclosure agreement. This is important. The non-disclosure agreement are in a highly competitive market. If an employee has knowledge or information for competitive advantage, you will want to bind the individual's secrecy if they leave your employee or leave your company. A disclosure by a department of employee who now works down the block for your competitor might be a fatal blow for which it would be hard to recover. The NDA can be a literal one way or mutual. So you want to take a look at the non-disclosure agreement. We bind with people and they come on and we talk to them about our ideals. You know, we talk to them about our segments and whatnot. So we need a non-disclosure agreement. So you want to take this ideal, and especially in the industry that we're in, and take it and use it. Because I've seen so many people link up with people about show ideals or about event ideals, and the next thing you know, they doing it. And you're like, wait, this is what me and you were supposed to do, or they take it and run with it. I want to bring Denaya in on this topic, and then Ali, I'm going to come back to you. Ali holding me down, doing her co-hosting thing. I'm so appreciative of being out.
Yes, I'm glad to be here.
Denaya, come in on this thing right here. Let's talk about the non-disclosure agreement.
My goodness, if you are doing any kind of business and you want to bring anybody else in that's that wasn't there before and you don't have a non-disclosure agreement, you are asking for problems. You are asking for them to take your idea and claim it for their own because you didn't think that you thought, oh, that's my girl. No, absolutely not. That's why, like I teach classes on enjoy making. I'm only teaching the kids stuff that they could get anywhere else. I'm not teaching them what I do. There's a difference for that specific reason. I have certain things that I've been doing since I started, and I'm going to continue doing that. And I have certain designs that everybody else doesn't have because we have different ways of doing things. So what I teach my kids is stuff that they, if they went to any of the classes, could get it. So there's no question, there's no problem with that there. But some people just be teaching all their secrets. Y'all crazy as hell. Absolutely not. But a lot of people just like, oh, you know, it's okay. That's the front. No. That's not how that works. They can take your business and your idea because you decided that it was a friend, it was somebody that I love, blah, blah, blah. You forgot that when money is involved, you know, like that, the whole situation changes.
I've learned by experience that happened to me starting a team of what I consider, or I thought at that time would be the professional, and sharing my ideals with them and whatnot. And lo and behold, they showed up to the conference call meeting and whatnot. That was all good. And then, you know, a month later, if not 6 days later, they send an email. This person didn't even call us. They sent an email and said that they were pulling out of the conglomerate and, you know, they no longer wanted to be a part, which is understandable. But then, you know, you go and check out their network and whatnot, and how funny is it that the same stuff that we were talking about or the same ideas that we had, you are now trying to bring to life. But the queen being the queen, I shut that down. I wasn't happy. Even though I didn't have a disclosure agreement with this individual, I let them know that, look, I see you, and it ain't happening. So if you call yourself trying to take the ideas of what we were trying to brand and make it happen, I'm exposed. Maybe I got a little bit of dirt on her. I shouldn't have did that, but I did. Let's go. Ali, go ahead and jump in on that, and then we're going to go to the stepmom.
Well, I also want to add something. I do contracts as well for different clients. Of course, they're all attorney-based. What I also tell people when they're signing a contract, which I think is most important as well, look at the sunset clause and the termination of the contract and the agreement. And I say this because from experience and from even hearing people that have worked with different organizations, you will see and notice that they will try to push in some things as far as business terms that could even potentially happen not only throughout the life of the contract, but even after the contract. There may be some things that you cannot share. There may be some things that have came up in the contract that you can't make public. So it's so important that people go, and when they're reading these contracts, and even when developing these contracts, it's having a clear understanding of the termination, the sunset clause, basically. Some people call it the sunset clause, or they call it termination. It's just important to know those factors. Understand what is going to happen when you get into that contract during those terms, but most importantly, understand what's going to happen after those terms are over. There may be some pertinent information that you may just after that figure you're no longer with the company so you can do it, and then turn around and find yourself getting a lawsuit because you may have said the wrong thing about the company. So it's so important that when you're dealing with these contracts, to understand these terms, understand how it can affect you afterwards, and just know your options. Get an attorney, do whatever you need to do. Just get that information in your head and understand what it's going to take in order to make sure that if, once you're done with the term, that they're done, that you're doing what you need to do, and that you both can go your separate ways if you choose not to continue to do business with them.
Mm-hmm. Steph, you gave us Saturdays with Diva Ebony B, Justin Cole, Holly Joseph. We definitely stepped the game up on the business side. Karen is Karen, you guys. The secret to success is Karen. Believe that. The secret to success is Karen, because anything that we all are doing, somebody did it before. But you want to share and care and educate, right? Let's go to the step lines and get some more feedback. 646-730, you're now live on Step the Game of Saturdays. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, this is Patrick B. Spell, and I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. What's up the real, Ebony B? What's going on?
Hi. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for calling in.
All right. I just want to touch more on the business aspect of everything and the contract. What I've been noticing is that a lot of people, when you're going into business or somebody's giving you a contract, a lot of people are copying and pasting from other people's contracts and making it their own.
Okay.
And they're structuring it in a way where they're not really knowing what to do with a contract. I mean, I'm pretty sure some of these people who have their own business and trying to shop for somebody else to join in on the business, I'm pretty sure they don't deal with contracts, so they copy and paste from somewhere else they find it.
Mm-hmm.
And they give it to somebody. Now, as far as the person that's asking to sign a contract, they want to go in there and try to get into all these workshops as much as possible, because when they add on to the stuff that they copy and paste is what everybody else is not looking at. If you go in there and you hire somebody, or let's just say you hire somebody else to be just for promotion, and then in the contract there's non-exclusive or exclusively, you cannot go out of shopping anything else for modeling and all that, like TV episodes and commercials and things of that. When you're only supposed to sign up for one thing, and there's many other things that they put in the contract. If you're young and you don't know, you're going through workshops and all those things like that, you're gonna wind up losing a whole bunch of other things you shouldn't even hire the person for. It's very important that you stick with your clip, ones that's actually working with you the right way, and go to the workshops so you can really find out how the business structure of contracting is supposed to be done. There are a lot of them out there, but just people that are getting lazy and not trying to go out there to try and make somebody else do their work, and then they wind up losing a whole bunch of stuff that they took.
You are definitely right about that, the copy and paste. I have seen that before. And as far as for me, for every client that I work with and every team that I work with, I believe in customizing towards the person who I'm working with. Because you talk about a lot of stuff with people, but you don't want to copy and paste. You want it to be simple, direct, to the point, because you have a lot of business jargon and a lot of these contracts that just being very repetitive. It's not even really making sense. And I think that's where people get confused that too. They're like, well, I don't know what is this talking about? And like you made a valid point there, is going to the workshop. The small business organization, even though when you sign up, when you register your business, and please, anybody that's in business, let me say that real fast. If you are in business and doing business, make sure your business is registered. If you signed to register as an LLC, a sole proprietor, register your business, because if you haven't registered your business, you're not in business. You're actually hustling. It's a difference. Just because you got a Facebook and put it in a PayPal, that don't put you in business. You just got a Facebook and put it in a PayPal.
You have to take care. You got to take care of yourself, because my whole thing is, if you make it your business, to wake up in the morning.
Wait a minute, speak up, King. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
If you make it your business to wake up in the morning and make it your business to look good in the morning, see, every time you wake up in the morning, it's strictly business. You have to put on your, it's business to put on your clothes, it's business to brush your teeth, it's business to go look for your kids, it's business. Everything is business. So when you walk outside, it's business. You advertise, you're walking advertising, so you're strictly business. You just don't have it on paper right away. Now, when you go in contact with people who you're trying to, I heard a young lady talking about branding. Before you walk out your house, you are brand, within the understanding that. When you go and look at the paperwork, you have to be, like what I heard another person saying, for professionalism. You're sagging in the pants, and the way you talk, the way you present yourself.
Mm-hmm.
No one take you serious if you're going to come in there sloppy looking. You know what I'm saying? And it's going to cause you to miss everything that you're supposed to see in the contract because you're sloppy. You know what I'm saying? So you have to wake up. They have to get into the workshops. There are a whole ton of workshops out there that will help you not see the stuff, you know, and help you see the stuff that you're supposed to see rather than losing out. You know,
I think those workshops are so helpful. It betters you as a business owner in the educational piece. Sometimes you have to pay for them. Sometimes they're free. You can even go and I think they call them webinars
yeah,
online.
Right.
You know, I've seen a lot of those too. Those, I mean, it has helped so much. You are stepping your game up, stepping your business game up by taking this time out to go to these workshops and to listen to these people who have come before you, studied and have years of experience. I don't necessarily, you know, I would want to listen or speak with somebody who has years of experience rather than days of experience. This is so important. I know a lot of people are kind of like, you know, I don't really want to invest that money. You know, it really wasn't talk about nothing or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
That's my question, too. Can we claim, because, of course, you all going to be filing taxes also. Ali, this question is for you. Are we able to claim the money that we able to claim the money that we have invested into workshops or the seminars on our taxes for our business?
Yeah, from my understanding, there's different deductions depending on the business. Now, for some businesses, there may be, I know there's up to, I believe now, 450 tax deductions for businesses alone. Now, it's also depending on how your business is classified. Most also home-based businesses, so if you're doing your business from home, there are definitely 450 tax deductions. Money that you invest in your business, you can actually write off at the end of the year, which will reduce your tax liability.
Great. I love it. That question just came in my head. I was like, I know a couple of things. My company has been running for 4 years. Yeah, of course, I'm going to ask. It's been running for 4 years, and, you know, I just usually do the regular claiming, but then I come to find out that it was a lot of stuff that I could have claimed. I claim my phone bill. I get that partial. I get partial of transportation, gas, insurance, things I invested in. I already knew about all the office work and equipment. The advertisements, the parts that I use for advertising and promotion, you can even claim money that you invested in clothes. As we were talking about business wear, that was the uniform. I was able to claim it. I was like, well, wow, I'm always shopping. I'm going to get a whole bunch of money back if I could claim that. But he was like, no, it has to be for
you. Can pretty much.
Go ahead, D. I can hear you.
I said you can pretty much claim everything. I claim my cleaners bill. When I go to the cleaners, I claim that. You can claim pretty much everything. You know what I'm saying? It's just that, you know, you just got to know and listen and go to these, go to the seminars so you can find out more about what is out there for you to claim. There's a lot of money for you to get back.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's just you researching it, and you have to be able to listen to what somebody else has already done so that you can actually do it. And that's the other part that, you know, you were saying when you was talking before about listening. A lot of people don't listen. And when they don't listen, they lose out on everything. And that's one of the biggest parts. That's the biggest part about the businesses as well. Who's willing to listen and move on and who's not?
Yeah. Ali, open us up again. Ali, thank you, Dee. Ali, open us up again with another way to step your business game up.
Let's see, because there's so many. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to think of one that happened recently. There's a couple of issues that had happened that I saw on the news, and there's so much going on that people are not even paying attention to when it comes to business. But I guess something, let's see. Let's talk about, well, we went over presentation. We've also went over communication. Let's talk about, oh, I have a good one. And this one's more specified to event planners. Insurance. Insurance is very, very important, especially when it comes to our industry and even just in general when you're dealing with. I've had clients who I've went to in different venues who they don't cover certain things that may happen. So say you have a client that goes and decides to use one venue at a particular event, and there something happens. There's also not only those sunset clauses that you're looking at between the venue, the contract with the venue and the client, but you're also looking at insurance. So let's say someone has a wedding, they're using a venue, but in most cases, and sometimes there's a lot of venues that don't include that in their, you know, when it comes to their deals. So it's pretty much up to event planners to have their own insurances, their liability insurances, which is definitely going to protect them if something does happen, in which the client, it can go from a range of something may get broken in the venue all the way to the client may not be satisfied. You want to have those liability insurances to just make sure that you're covered and your client is covered and protecting themselves. A lot of people just go and do these events and don't realize that there's, the venue's not going to take care of any liability. They do have the legal right, if something is damaged in their property, to definitely come after you for it. And I don't think a lot of people realize that when they're going into these contracts and negotiating these businesses and these business principles. So that's something I think, you know, if there's event planners out there especially, and I think just anyone in general, even the music artists that's out here with these venues, make sure that you understand the insurances. Ask these venues, is there insurance that they have when it comes to these type of liabilities? And if they don't, just be prepared for the risk that it can take. So that's something I definitely want to put out there especially, because I've seen a few who went to venues and turn around, ended up having to pay the venue for damaged property, not asking them questions regarding their insurance policy.
I want to thank you, Ali, for that, and I want to speak from, you know, as far as a host and as far as hosting events for artists, because I've done this before. I've done plenty of events, and we, the artists, come and they do the showcase, but they sign a contract or agreement with us stating that, you know, first of all, you have to be on time. That's one. It's very important. You have to be on time. You have to show up on time. And they are also liable for their entourage that they bring with them. Because we have had an incident where we had an artist who came, was on point, brought his entourage with him, or whatever the case may be, but two of the people in his entourage was beefing with somebody else that came to the club in the event, and a fight broke out. Because of this. Now, that's artists. Make sure your team or whoever you bring it with you, and make sure they be the day one people, not the day 73 people. Day 73 people can play to get in just like everybody else. That's what I'm saying. Take care of your day one. But they had came and, you know, they got into this fight or whatever the case may be, and the artist and the entourage kicked out. And he wanted, because there was spots that they paid for to showcase. They were paying the spot, bought the spot to get showcased. He actually bought it 2 months in advance. And we had a great turnout, over 1,500 people. It was great exposure. He was able to, when he was done, he had a table to network and to sell his product. He ended up getting kicked out before he even performed, and he wanted a refund. And I'm like,
wow.
Wait. You want me to refund you for y'all getting kicked out? I didn't even kick y'all out. The security and, you know, of course, the Seattle police, because Seattle police is the security at that particular spot. But he wanted a refund because he felt like, well, I didn't get a chance to perform. I didn't sell not one CD. I didn't network with anybody. And I was like, look, that is not my fault. And it states in your contract that if there is any fights that break out and that's caused by you or your entourage, that there will not, well, first of all, I'm not refunding anything. That's one thing. Unless it's caught on us. Unless, so the only way I'll refund is if if the show didn't exist, it didn't go on. Like, the doors didn't open, people didn't come in, none of that. So I was like, contract that season was a fight, or it's too late, or whatnot. So you're going to forfeit your performance, and you're going to forfeit any type of refund or any compensation after that. You know, this man was actually mad with me, like mad at the people because I wouldn't give him his money back for him not performing. I told him, I said, you need to tell your entourage to take your money back because they knew that the artist is so important. You are going up there to showcase yourself. And how many places do you know that you can go and showcase your music and your brand when you have a merchant table afterwards? Like your own section. Like the money that you put in to showcase is the money that you're going to make if you think to do it right. So artists, I want to definitely encourage you guys to make sure that people who are coming to support you and your team, that they know that they are there to support you and to have a good time and any type of beef that they have, please save it for, I don't even want to say after the club, just save it and just keep it moving. Just keep it moving. It ain't worth beefing. Let's go into this next contract before we take a music break. Here it is. Sales contract or survivor agreement. If you are selling something other than small retail items, you will want to have one of these. Any high-dollar product to be sold pursuant to a sales agreement. This agreement will, or other rights and responsibilities. If you are offering service such as a web-based subscription model that is a buyer's taste to use your service on regular basis for a predetermined amount and charge, you also will need to have all of those details in writing. This can be accomplished with a number of different agreements, like terms, services, licenses, the EULA, which is end-user agreement. I think it's so important if you for the sales contract and subscriber agreement, because when you're doing, are you selling a large item, or if you're saying, like, look, we're going to do 6 months of promo, and it's going to be such and such amount this time, and we do have a payment plan. Clients up on a payment plan where they can pay monthly. I think it's better to pay for things annually or whole than to pay for a month, because you never know how your income is going to change and life on life turns is going to happen, especially mm-hmm. if you have something like promotion or like your phone bill. If you do what I do, if you host a station and you have to call into a switchboard, you want to pay your phone bill for 6 months to a year. You know, invest that good income tax money and that good money that you make it through sales. Invest that back into yourself annually. Your phone bill, your internet service, that's another thing you want to invest it in, any type of service that you pay for. But you need to make sure that your client and you have a complete understanding of the sales contract and subscriber agreement. And if you are doing this, you want to make sure you tell them, like, look, we can do this monthly, and it can automatically come out of your account. We all know what auto pay is. Some people just don't like it. I don't like auto pay, but I'll pay you annually so I can just get it out the way.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I agree. Auto pay is a very interesting concept.
Oh, yeah. And you think it's, you really, you get an alert on your phone and say, wait, what? Why am I negative $39, or why am I negative $40, and now I got to get this $35 overdraft fee from my bank, and you mad at the person who took it out, you signed the agreement to take it out. And if we are doing big business, if we're doing big numbers, if you're paying for a service, and you just want to pay for a monthly, you need to remember this. Because it can really put you in a hole and put you in a funk.
And then you're like paying more money.
Yeah, and the bank is tempting. I got an overdraft fee one time for $35 for $1.73. That was the most expensive bag of sugar I ever bought in my life. But I disputed it.
I know that's right.
It was $1.33. I went to the dollar store and got a little bag of sugar. It was something else. But
that's
I was like,
that's the most expensive sugar.
Sugar. I said, what? And, of course, when I called the bank, well, you know, terms and agreements, I said, look here. Y'all been getting my money for the last 7 years. $35, I said, I ain't never overdraft my account. Now, y'all can give me a courtesy as a long term. But after
okay.
that happened, I cut up my debit card. I said, oh, no, baby. I cut the debit card up. I said, no,
wow.
you don't need this at my bank. I will go into the bank and get the money. Now I just transfer money. I keep all my money in savings. I got my debit card back because you know it's even going to need it. I was mad for that moment, but then I went back. So I keep all my money in savings. So when I do need to buy something, I literally have to go on my phone and transfer over money to spend it. I don't know. It works for me.
No, but that's fun because that way you can actually, you know that you need it at that point. There's no impulse shopping there. Because you had to sit there and transfer that money into that account. So you needed whatever you needed at that point, for real.
$35, yes, indeed. Yeah, watch
right?
that, y'all.
Man.
That $35 can turn into $1,000 in collections.
Oh, it's crazy.
Take everybody time out to pull up. Yep. Take a time out and go online, because a lot of us do online banking, too. Take the time out to go online and search withdrawals and stuff. Put in withdrawal fee, like put in the description and see how much money you can pay last year in overdraft.
Right.
I mean, being the hustler or the business owner that I am, I would want to have a bank account so I could charge people overdraft. But some people just don't have it. I mean, really, that's a really sneaky and clever way to make extra money. Because a dollar for a bag of sugar then turned into $36. Oh no, that sugar better last me a long time. Is that a net? I shouldn't have to even use a teaspoon of that stuff.
It should take one drop of sugar to sweeten everything
one
up. That
drop.
Must be some good Christmas.
Let's go into another contract before we take a music break. You're now tuning in live to Set the Game on Saturdays with Eva Evans B. And special co-host Ali Joseph is live in the building with us. And we help you guys set the game up, just as well as we helping ourselves set the game up with contracts and agreements when we're doing business. Now, we got a lot of independent business owners out there. So let's talk about the independent contract agreement. If you are running a business that depends on other business, might have the need for this type of agreement. For example, you run a print shop and have a project to print a hardcover book. Your shop does not have the equipment or the expertise to make this hardcover. So you subcontract that part out to a project to another printer. There's no real trick to this agreement. It's just you agree to pay for the services of another for a mutual agreeable price. Keep in mind that this subcontract is typically coming out of the estimate of award you made for the entire book. You need to watch your profit margin and make sure that the subcontract fits into the overall book project as far as cost, timing, and quality. In this example, the delivery date of the covers is crucial to completing the project for the customers on time. So the independent contractor agreement is very important because sometimes I have independent contract agreements because sometimes I'm doing a bigger promotion and I want to bring in other stations, which is always good. I love working with other stations. I love working with other people. And the more people on board with promotion, the more better. So I'll subcontract out to them. Like I'll subcontract out to Ali and Denia because they're over in Chicago. Of course, I want that Chicago market. I want to be able to network with their people. And for the client that I have, you know, to get the word out there, most likely they want to be targeted over there. So I say, hey, you know, can we get together? I want to promote this artist or this business owner, and I want to bring you in as a subcontractor to promote this event or to get that thing. I need this venue for my art, or I need this area for my artist to be exposed to. So I need to bring you in. I'm going to pay you this amount, which is deductions from what I charge my clients, trust and believe. And there's money still coming out of my pocket. But I'm subcontracting you, and I want to make sure that, one, they have the network and the reach. Two, they have quality and professional services. And three, they can deliver what I'm trying to agree with them with. That's very important. Ali, I'm going to go ahead and throw it back over to you.
Yes, and with independent contracts as well, just make sure that, and one of the biggest things that's also been an issue, is that the responsibility and who's responsible. A lot of times I've noticed, too, that even when I'm doing a contract for a client and there's an issue that happens with the third party, if there's an issue or there's something that happens to where they're looking back at me because they weren't sure of the full-out contract, make sure, and this goes really pretty much back to terms, understanding the terms between yourself and your original client. So say myself with my company and the client that hired me to do an event and outside vendors. They decide they want to actually work with an outside music vendor. So when it comes to those payment terms and agreements, it can be tricky because in some cases, and this has been noted that it's happened in certain states, or this has happened in, you know, certain areas where if you're actually working with the planner and you decide to work with their team and their contract agreement with their outside vendors, there's usually one main contract for that. So if I have a vendor that's working with me and in partnership with me, the contract I give out will specify that, and it'll specify that those actual vendors are working on my team. But if you're going outside and you want to get your own contract with your own vendor at an own separate time, just know and understand that contract is going to be singled out to that vendor. It's not going to come back to me as the event planner. It's not going to come back to anybody on my team. But it's going to go directly between you and that actual vendor. So it all just goes back to terms, because sometimes if there's not any correct written word, which is something else that people need to look at as well as their word verbatim, that's why I always advise people to have an attorney as well look at their paperwork, because it's just those little bit of word verbatim that can mean the difference between a lawsuit and you having a successful business relationship.
Mm-hmm. You definitely are right about that. I wanted to jump back on insurance. And for those who are running the business from their home, you know, one thing in protecting your home as well, renter insurance is so amazing. And it's monthly, you know, because somebody can break into your house or something can happen, water damage, a fire, God forbid these things happen. But renter insurance is a really, really good thing to have. You know, you may live in a nice neighborhood or whatever the case may be, but you never know, something can happen. And also, you know, have insurance on the location of the spot that you're renting at a building. I know one of the guys out here, he's a stock trader at a studio and whatnot, and a drunk driver crashed into the building. And the spot that was hitting was bad was his studio. And because he didn't have insurance, you know, guess what? All of that is down the drain. All of that expensive equipment is gone. All of that is down the drain. He can't get any type of money or money back to that because he didn't have any insurance, and he was depending on the building insurance to cover the building, but it didn't cover him. It just covered the outside of the building, you know, the things is like the walls, the lights, and, you know, it only covered the fixing of the building, but it didn't cover any of the equipment and whatnot that he lost because he wasn't under this. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. Let's go into a music break. Let's go into some Tamisha Price on Loud. This is your girl, Diva Evan B. You're now live on Step Your Game on Saturdays with special co-host Ali Joseph. Call us up at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. And press the one button since you heard. We on Loud. my girl Tamisha Trice right there on Loud. That's Tamisha Trice. Make sure y'all follow her on Twitter at www.twitter.com/Tamisha Trice, or you can hit her up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Tamisha Trice. I'll definitely post her name and her Facebook because I see y'all love her. I'm going to post it on my Facebook right now. We back in the game on step. I'm here with my special co-host, Ali Joseph. We definitely We step your game up today, and it can be fun stepping your game up. Business is fun. It's fun when you take the time out to invest into your education, invest into financially into yourself. But Ali brought up a really good point here, and when we were talking before the show, about when you go into these investors with your plan and you say, hey, you know, I need an investment, and I think people just think automatically, I just tell people I need some money, or I need $1 million. That's just like your child coming to you or somebody coming to you and say, hey, I need $100 for a pair of shoes. Well, how does this benefit me giving you $100 for a pair of Jordans? What does this do for me, and why are these shoes $100? You can't wait till they go on sale? Let's think about it. Ali, I'm going to throw it over to you. You can go ahead and help them step their game up today.
Yes. Well, when we talk about investing, it's so important when we talk about the numbers that we're bringing to investors. People just may ask for an enormous amount. They'll ask for $1 million. Sometimes they may not do the actual breakdown. They don't have any other backbone to just asking for that $1 million. And a lot of the times, the investors, what they really want to see, too, is they want to actually see how serious you are about your business. They're not going to fund your whole product. It's just not going to happen because, of course, it's just like if you get a handout. Sometimes people may not work as hard when they get it for free. They want to also see what you're investing in. So just make sure that when you're going to an investor, when it comes down to wanting to have them sponsor or even just invest in your business as a whole, make sure you have a breakdown. Well, this is what we need, and this is what it's going towards. Show every little itty detail from where each money is going, who's getting paid, what's going to be paid out of this, how they're going to benefit investing in your business. It's just having that research done. And research, that's another thing. It's just important to also research. Research your industry. Make sure that you see, look at other industries, see how much it may have started for them to start up. See what they've invested in. Look at your top two competitors that you're looking against and just see what you can bring to the table that's also going to attract an investor. Once you start breaking those things down and once they start seeing you doing the work for yourself, it's going to attract them more because they can also see, and also as you as a business person, you can let them know, even though technically you may need the money, you can also look at them and let them know whether you give me the money or not, my business is still going to run. That's what's going to attract them. It's just like a relationship. Give them something to chase after. If they see that you're a needy person a lot of the time, they're not going to really want to chase after you because they know they have the upper hand. But if you show them that whether they invest or whether they get involved or not, your business is still going to run, it's still going to attract them because they know that you're still a go-getter, that you're still going to be successful. But that'll also bring them to attract to see, okay, well, this is definitely going to be a benefit. So make sure you're looking at those numbers, you're researching those numbers, making sure that they're legit numbers. You can't open up, you're not going to open up a nice little barbershop for $60 million. Like, that's just really out the norm. It's probably going to be a little bit less than that. So just make sure that your numbers is on point when you're going to these investors. And just make sure you got some work going on. Make sure your investment plan and your investment return, make sure your return, well, not your investment return, your ROI, your return of investment is going to be on point. Make sure that you have those 3 to 5 year goals. Make sure you have something solid to show them that you're going to receive those returns and those profits. So that way they're ensured that even if they're investing so that you can get started, that they're going to get their money plus their profits back in the appropriate time.
Ali, for those who are new and who looking for investors or sponsors, you know, and like you said, you talked earlier in the show about, you know, you do contracts and you help people, and that's a service that you do offer. You know, those who are really, really new and say, you know what, it's time, I really need an investor, or I'm trying to get sponsors for my show, where or for their brand, you know, where would they start at? Say, you know what, I contact first.
I would actually contact the company first. If you really want to get some stuff going in your city, start with your city first. A lot of different cities have different resources, which is always important. Seeing what they have, the Chamber of Commerce, that's it. So a lot of people, when I was in Atlanta for a while, that was one big place that I was looking to actually get some investing in and build my business in, is in the Chamber of Commerce. Most cities have a Chamber of Commerce. A lot of them have connections. They have, whether it's investing connections or even general connections of people that can help you build your business. Look in your city for some of those resources. Connect with some of these people who are up there, who are out there, and who are ready to give. And, of course, we know during this day and time it's definitely difficult to find these things, so it's going to take a lot of research. But when you're also, but start with your city. When you're also researching for different companies, make sure to go on the internet, look at this information. Always look for the head person that's in charge when it comes down to dealing with marketing or general investing. You don't want to send your information to the wrong department because it can definitely look bad, and it may not necessarily be your fault, but a lot of the times when it comes to sponsors, let's just say for Coca-Cola, for example, they have certain specifics that need to be done in order for them to sponsor your event. They want to see how long your company has been in play. What have you done for your community thus far? What are your goals within the next year or two? How is your event going to benefit them as already being a huge corporation? So there's specific websites, there's specific details that you, and specific emails and contacts that you must apply to when it goes down to these certain places that you want sponsorships and investors to. And even with individual investors, they usually have their information out. You know directly how to reach them. So just make sure that you contact those contacts first. Make sure everything is on point. Make sure that you've went through everything like 20,000 times before you send it over. Because once you get it over there into those certain places, and if they're not in the certain process, that can also make them throw your stuff out too, just simply because it's not in the right place. You're in a department that it no longer, they don't do that type of stuff. They might have a specified department for that, so they may throw it out. So just make sure when you're doing your research, I would try a Chamber of Commerce in any city. Most cities does have a Chamber of Commerce. I would try them first. Try to get connected with them. Become, deal with membership. Again, with any business, you have to give money to make money. Join the Chamber of Commerce. Get to know some of the power players in your city. And then as you continue to build with investing, make sure you research these investors, know who these people are, and make sure to get the right contact information to reach out to them so that you can give your proposals to them and get that investment.
Now thank you for sharing that. And now you did talk about, you know, saying you got to invest money to make money, which is very true. This is so true. Let's talk budget. Let's talk about the type of budget that you're going to be needing. Let's talk about just even having a budget.
Yes, with budgeting. Now, budgeting can vary depending on what you're trying to do. And then, of course, it can vary on different factors, how your industry is doing, what some of your biggest competitors in the industry, where your industry is being seen literally 5 years from now. Budgeting can definitely vary. So the research is what's really going to make the difference. If you're in the industry, let's just say maybe the automobile industry a while back ago, and they had to get them out of that deficit issue, let's just say that you want to open up a shop, a mechanic shop in today's industry. Well, you have to look at those factors. You have to look at what's going on now in the automotive industry. A lot of business, and this is just something I'm putting out there just so people know, my husband is a mechanic. So a lot of things that are going on with the auto mechanic industry, which that's why I'm knowledgeable about this, is that a lot of the dealerships are taking back business that was once put out there for small businesses to make money. But because of this issue with the automotive industry and because of kind of the crash that it took, a lot of dealerships have taken back business. So small things when it comes to warranties, when it comes to lifelong warranties, and different things that at one point you can easily go to your small business shop and actually get done. Now a lot of these dealerships and higher corporations have taken back. So I use that as an example because that's one of the industries that was actually affected by the economy. So when you're doing a budget and when you're looking at budgeting for these businesses and for your company, make sure that you're researching on your company. See how affected and how seriously affected it was in the economy and see if there's what the projections are for it to go in the next 3 to 5 years. Are you going to see increases? And what you need to do with your own unique style as your own company, how can you be set aside from the competition? So it's really, really all about those, that research and giving out those numbers and also letting your investors and people know, hey, I know realistically what's going on. I know that I've done my research, and they'll easily be able to see that throughout your actual plan. So that's something that's just really important. We have to research better when it comes down to companies and understanding our industries. If you don't understand your industry, you really don't have anything. If you can't even name your top two competitors that's in your city, you really don't have anything. It's just that simple. So we have to research as business people. We have to make sure we understand our industry. We know our industry. We also have to even make those projections if that industry decides not to be a proper industry in the next 5 years. If something happens where it can crash, how are you going to still stay afloat? These are the hard-hitting questions that any person has to ask themselves. And investors are going to definitely be asking you. They're going to want to know because they're not going to give you any money if you're already going to tell them, oh, well, I might not be here in the next 5 years. Then there's no reason for me to give you any money. So the research is extremely important. We need to understand, know our industries, know what we're getting into, and just make sure that we take the proper action beginning all the way down, so that way when it comes time for that ROI, if those return of investments and they looking for their money, you're not sitting there like, oh, I don't know, or you don't went and dodged out of the country somewhere because you're not sure. But, yeah, please keep that in mind as business owners and a small business. I just want to put out there, as small businesses, there is a lot of competition with these corporations. You have to be on point. Be on point with your community. Be on point with your paperwork, your licensing, how you conduct business. They're already trying to get rid of small business, point blank, period. They don't want it there. A lot of these corporations, not even just in the automotive industry, but just in other industries in general, they're taking back business that they no longer want it to do because now the economy is different. So make sure you have a product, you have a brand, that is definitely going to stick. Because if you do not, they will take that business too. And right. I highly encourage us to sit down and have these network and have these discussions, network with other people, see how we can connect and communicate with one another so that we can keep the strength of small businesses going for years and many, many years to come.
Agreed, definitely.
Definitely agree with that. Let's talk about one more contract that needs to be put out on the table because, of course, there's a lot of competition going on within the industry, no matter what industry that you're in, and especially if you're doing numbers, you got real competition. But let's talk about the competition within, you know, for the people who you didn't hire and work with and what they need to know, you know, to step in the game up and know better, the non-compete contract, similar to the NDA, a non-compete agreement is very important if you are hiring salespeople or employees that deal with your customers. You have exposed your customers to some people who you have hired who are in sales, and, you know, they have a sales professional techniques about themselves, and this is why you hire them to come on. But this contract will restrict an employee from working in the same field for specific terms within a set geographic note that states that differs on the scope of what constitutes a valid agreement and will strike those that are too broad or prohibited individuals from making a living at their chosen trade. This agreement also usually prohibits an employee from taking customers with. That's another thing. We do the email blast, you know, our contacts and stuff like that. And that's one thing that I see a lot with Facebook and Twitter, or whatever. They like, you know, can this app is going to allow us to have, you know, access to your contacts and all this. No, you can't have my people. I work hard for them. For taking your customer list, internal documents, or other materials when he or she leaves, you can add a non-solicitation clause that ex-employee will be prohibited from contacting your existing customers from a term or 1 year or as allowed by law. So the non-compete contract, you know, basically, and I'm going to try to wrap it up. I'm going to let Ali and Denaya come in on this one. It basically protects your brand from people or your ideals or your products from somebody that used to work with you and, you know, they was Judas the whole time and now they about to leave and then now they want to use your ideals and your product and, you know, I sold peanut butter and they call it butter peanut and just try to sell it somewhere else just because you changed the name around. It doesn't change what the product is. So you can say, look, no, you can't take my ideas and you can't go nowhere else to do it. Oh, you want to skip town and go on the other side of the world and come over here in Seattle and turn up? Nope, can't do that either. You can't use my product. You can't market it out of nowhere. You can't do anything with this because there's people who you are going to hire and not people that just jump on your team. But you personally picked them out and hired them, and now they got mad milk and quit and left. And I like, you know what, these go white T-shirts with the crew neck, but I'm going to sell white shirts with the V-neck. Don't they just piss you off? It's still a white T-shirt. I'm personally speaking because, you know, somebody tried to take my Frontline Fridays name. And just because they was over there and flagged, because this is my show and I do what I want.
Go ahead, Diva. I'm about to do it.
Let me take a little sip of my drink right here. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I'm about to educate and regulate. So I call that phone.
It's time to educate and regulate. On the front line with Diva, Ebony B. It's time to educate and regulate. On the front line with Diva, Ebony B. Hey, queen, gon' teach the bum. On the front line, Diva, Ebony B. Hey, queen, gon' teach the bum. On the front line with Diva, Ebony B.
Fun boy, that's probably for that hot drop right there because he's definitely trying to educate and regulate, and it's exactly what me and Ali is doing up in here on Set the Game of Saturdays, educating and regulate. So I have for one, and we got about 7 minutes left in the show, but we're going to wrap it up. I'm going to wrap it up real fast. I have somebody on Twitter. I have Frontline Fridays Twitter, so apparently it was a show called Frontline or Frontline Fridays. They made a show over there in Philly. So they start following me, and I'm like, okay. And it was like now following Diva Ebony B, and was like, well, what's up with your Frontline Friday show, and how did you come up with this? This long message in the DM, and
oh,
I was
wow.
like, wait a minute, yeah, just asked me like they feel some type of way that I got a Frontline Friday. I said, well, that's my logo. Yes, it's registered and copywritten. That's fine. My name. Is the Frontline Fridays is registered and copyrighted in Jersey and over here in Washington. So where y'all new niggas come from? That's
exactly.
What I'm trying to figure out. I went and checked their profile. Oh, and they had, because my show was already on air 2 years. Two years in. They had just started like a couple of months ago. Actually, it was like 7 months. They had started that show on Blog Talk.
Right.
So now he coming at me, you know, want to find out what's going on with my front line, you know, and because they all on Twitter, and screaming team frontline or whatever the case may be, that's your business. But where is your proper paperwork that's stating that this is yours? I say here, let me send you a quick copy of my ish being rescued. See, that name is copywritten. That belongs to me, baby. So this is what you need to do. And, of course, my legal team, I call my lawyer up with his fine ass. Shout out to my lawyer. I love you. I call him up. I said, it's a diva alert. What is going on here? He said, I'm going to handle it. He sent them over. He hit the same person up on Twitter and sent them over a form with basically a warning like, look, if you don't stop using this name, you are going to get sued. She registered. This is copyrighted. You can't use this. So knock it off. And, of course, you're going to follow me and block me later, and that's okay. I'm fine. You can block me. That's great. I love my haters. Work full-time, part-time, overtime. But, yes, it was just amazing how he was just coming at my neck with the hood mentality, you know.
Wow.
Don't let the Mary Kay smile fool y'all, please. I'm very professional. Don't get it twisted. But please don't let that bright doctor smile fool you. Don't do that. Don't do that. I know where to hit you at, baby. And I know how to hit you hard. I know I see weak spots. And as soon as I see them in your company, in your business, or you as a personal, I hit them real hard. So please don't get a letter from my lawyer, because I don't really have to go through the fight. I fight with your money, with your brand. I'll pay you to hate me. I'll make you pay me to hate me. He was hating on me for it. Oh, it was a little bit of, what do we call it? I call it blasphemy, but he was, like, hating on me, trying to degrade my name. What is it? Slander. Yeah, there was slander going on in the diva's name in Frontline Friday.
Really?
It was just Diva Ebony B. You know, well, at that time I was even Mary Kay. I did a pity and changed my name because I can. But who was this Diva Mary Kay and Frontline Friday? You know, bitches kill me. You know, such and such and such. You know, only Frontline Fridays, all of this. Oh, it was a hotmess.com.
Oh,
and when my lawyer sent that email over, it was over. I ain't hear nothing else on them.
Right.
They got
what the hell did
they say? Absolutely.
Nothing. What you going to say?
Right.
I mean, I'm going to throw it over to you. I'm going to bring it to deny, and we're going to wrap this thing up.
Yes. So, overall, I just want to let everybody know, 2014, step your game up, just like the show is called. Step the game up, please. I can't express how much and how many things I've seen and how many illegal business practices I've seen. You know, we all got to do what we got to do. I don't understand that, you know, we starting off, but continue to step your game up. There's people out here that's ready to steal, kill, and destroy. They do not care. They want your business. They want your brand. They want to get all the benefits. So please, take the time this year. We're still at the beginning of the new year. Take the time in 2014 to reevaluate your company. Reevaluate what your goals are, your mission, what your target goals are. Refresh your finances. Refresh your page. Make sure all your pages in your business plan. Take the time to refresh and figure out what is it that you want to continue to do in order to continue to be a successful and profitable business 2014 and beyond. Connect yourselves with people that are going to help your business thrive. And most importantly, invest. Don't also invest. There's so many different opportunities out here. Invest in other ventures. Increase your dynamics. And be the best investor and business owner and entrepreneur that you can be. It's always about just being positive. And just remember that you're never too high up to go get knocked right back down. Keep your respect for people. Because at the end of the day, it's that same attitude that's going to be turning around and going to get you knocked back down. And people will not feel sorry for you then. So just remember to get your stuff together. Stay real. Get your business in order. stop walking around here getting all these little loopholes. Get your stuff in order. Let's build a better dynamic of business owners and entrepreneurs this year.
I definitely appreciate that, Eileen. And I, you want to give your closing comments?
Definitely. I mean, I think the biggest thing is support each other. I don't know how much I can say that, how important it is, especially we as people, African Americans. So start supporting Black businesses that are doing well, that are actually positive and doing something. Stop supporting this ratchet mess. That's the problem that we're having right now, is that we're not supporting each other enough, and we're so quick to ask for a quote-unquote favor, not understanding that it's costing people costing money to create the product that you want, so-called, but you don't want to pay for it. That doesn't work. And like Ali said, set your business game way up. Get your trademarks, get your LLC, all that stuff. Because I have someone who something called deniability answer, whatever, not even in America, you know, attempting to take the name. But it's okay, because that's her very trademark, so she can't even do the whole thing anyways.
That's
funny. Why she had to just put
somebody did
behind
that
it, because
it's
just not going to happen. So, because that's taken care of. But the biggest thing that I see is, if you're on social media, pay attention to what you post, tweet.
Yes.
Google yourself at least once a month, I'm telling you. Because if you do, you will not post those crazy, naked, whatever pictures. Even stuff that you share, stuff that you are tagged in, pay attention to what your quote-unquote friends are tagging you in. And do not be afraid to cut people off that tag you a mess, because believe me, that will come back to haunt you. I guarantee you. So it's just a matter of be responsible, surround yourself with people that are positive and are doing something.
Yes.
Support people now that are artists and doing something, because they don't want to hear from you when they're high up and you're talking about, oh, you bougie. How am I bougie? Did you come to my show when it was $10? No, you can't come when it's $50 and want to get in free. That's not going to happen. So it's all about support. That's why I say CSOO, Chicago Supporting Our Own, because we need to do that more. So
I definitely appreciate the comments. And one thing I want to close with the comments is, I challenge everybody. Diva is giving a challenge right now. We only 18 days to do this. I challenge you to at least once, all business owners, to at least once attend a workshop. Whether you go out physically and go to attend a workshop, I challenge you to at least contact the Small Business Association at least twice a week with any questions that you may have. I challenge you as well to continue to network with the people that you already network with the people that they network with. I challenge you to network with one individual, a new individual. Reach out to somebody new once a day, every day. Or if you have your business hours, you know, you work part-time or you work full-time or you run your company, network with someone new each and every day. So here's the challenge. Network with someone new each and every day, at least one seminar or a webinar. And then three, a business seminar or webinar. And three, contact your Small Business Association your Small Business Association. Go on the website, call them up, ask the questions about the things that you don't understand. You're going to get in a lot of paperwork in the mail about L&I, about your insurance for your employees, about unemployment. Get these questions. Start talking to people. So these people are in position. They get paid to work and explain these things to you. So take the time out to get in contact with them. I want to definitely thank my special guest, Ali Joseph, for coming on the show to help us step our game up on this Saturday on the business. And if you guys are listening to the archive episode, make sure you go and make sure you go down to the bottom of the page and leave us a comment. Leave your comment. Yes. We'll definitely read them. We'll definitely read them, and, you know, we'll get back to you and network with us. It's your girl, Diva Ebony B. You're now tuning in live to Step Your Game Up Saturdays, each and every Saturday. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Diva Ebony B. That's at Diva Ebony B. Also, follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/DivaMaryKay. That's facebook.com/DivaMaryKay. You guys, make sure you keep God first. family second and career third. Be out of here.